We're talking today with Clay Pope from the Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts. Clay, good news that you announced at the Ag Day celebration at the state capitol just in the last couple of days. Once again, Oklahoma leading the nation in the amount of nutrient reduction, especially phosphorus, when it comes to our waterways.
Absolutely. This is the second year in a row, and actually this is the fourth year in a row that we've been in the top 10, but the second year in a row we've been number one in reducing harmful nutrients out of our water. Things like phosphorus and nitrogen that we've heard so much about over the years that have added to non-point source pollution and caused so many challenges. Through voluntary programs, and I think that's important, not through regulations, not through lawsuits, but by working together cooperatively, we've been able to work with farmers and ranchers to put best management practices on the ground that the data shows for the second year in a row is number one in the nation in reduction of these nutrients out of our water. In fact, if you look at the goals that were set by EPA for the entire nation for phosphorus reduction, half of that goal was met in Oklahoma. If you over 25%, over a quarter of the goal for nitrogen reduction happened in Oklahoma. We've got a great program. Again, it's all voluntary, and I want to point that out. Other states regulate these issues. We don't in Oklahoma. Through voluntary efforts that work cooperatively with agriculture producers, the same way we address soil erosion going back to the Dust Bowl, and the same way we still work to address it today. Those voluntary, locally based, incentive based programs that work cooperatively with agriculture producers work. Cooperative conservation works in controlling soil erosion. It also controls in protecting water quality. We've got the numbers to prove it, and it's a real testimony to the stewardship and the good conservation work of agriculture producers across Oklahoma.
I thought it was interesting that you noted that the 319 money, we're really using a very small amount of the federal dollars versus the results they're getting.
You know, and I also, you're talking about 319, I also want to put in a plug for EPA. I know we all like to, the EPA a lot of times is the boogeyman that we do have to guard against. But in this case, EPA actually has a voluntary program where they will go out and work through an agency. In this case, in Oklahoma, it's the Conservation Commission. And they, in turn, work through the local conservation districts in partnership with NRCS, partnership with those conservation title programs out of the Farm Bill, working collectively and cooperatively with those agriculture producers. That's how we've been able to get a handle on it. And again, like you said, it's less than 3% of the money that's gone out nationwide for water quality work through EPA comes to Oklahoma. So, you know, we've been able to do this. We've been able to do it better than other states and do it cheaper than other states. So, again, I think it's a testimony not just to the system and to the work that those folks at the government agencies do, and they've done an outstanding job, but the leadership those local conservation districts shown and the effort that's put on the ground by the farmers and ranchers themselves, because we're talking about cost share dollars. Farmers and ranchers have to put money themselves out there to match the money that comes from the government. It's not a free ride. And a lot of times they're doing things that over the short term especially it's going to cost them money. You're going in fencing off riparian areas. You're going in taking land out of production and putting it back into grass. You can run cattle on it. But, you know, you're losing a little bit of your income off of that. You know, even converting to no-till, you've got that three-year hump before your yields start to really pick up and take off. You've got equipment expenses that go along with that. They're willing to make those sacrifices. They're willing to put that money out there. It's that old story. If you can convince me, and you know, as an agriculture producer myself, I've always said you can lead me anywhere, but I'll be damned if I'll be pushed. If you'll show me there's a problem, if you'll work with me to solve that problem, I'll work with you, and together we'll make a difference. And again, I think the numbers pan that out, and it's something we should all be proud of in Oklahoma.
This is both crop and cattle producers, livestock and farming practices that we're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say it's agriculture across the board, not just cattle producers, but also hog producers, also poultry producers. Obviously, crop production is a big part of it as well. The changes and the improvements that we've made go all the way from the panhandle to far southeast Oklahoma, from the foothills of the Rockies in northeast Oklahoma down to the plains in southwest Oklahoma and everything in between. That's the thing that's so great about this program in Oklahoma. It's just not one type of agriculture. It's just not one geographic area. It's all of us in agriculture in Oklahoma working together cooperatively. We're making great strides on this, and I think it's something, again, that we should all be proud of.
Yeah, been a lot of spotlight over in recent years in that northeastern corner with the Illinois River and some of the other things that are kind of connected to it as far as those waterway and streams and lakes and everything. It seems like, I know you've made good progress there, but as you mentioned, you haven't made progress in other areas as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look in northeast Oklahoma, and clearly with some of the challenges, that's some of the older projects that we have because we've been working over there longer. And we've got some really good data from up there. You know, Uchi-Spavinaw, where Tulsa gets its water supply from primarily. primarily. Over 60% reductions in phosphorus and nitrogen. Parts of the Illinois River, most notably the Peach Eater Creek sub-watershed, over 70% reduction in nitrogen and phosphorus in that watershed. Again, not through regulations, but through best management practices. And not just moving poultry litter out of the watershed, but buffer strips, conversion of cropland, highly erodible cropland back to grass. And again, you're not just retiring it. You're still running cattle on that land. It's still in production, but it's done in a way that it is designed to address those natural resource challenges. And then you look at the rest of the state. You know, my own home watershed, the Cooper Creek watershed, came off of the 303D list because working with agriculture producers through practices primarily designed to control soil erosion. If you can control erosion, you can control 90% of what's getting into that water, because most of it's tied to that soil particle to begin with. Mm-hmm. By doing good practices that at the end of the day really help our bottom line, because we all know we need to control erosion. And studies have shown if you can rebuild the organic matter, that's going to increase your productivity as well. And if you do it right, you're going to do it in a way that over the long run is going to save you money and help you make more money. That's the beauty of the program that we have in Oklahoma. It's not done on an adversarial basis. You work with agriculture producers. You take their financial situation in mind as you go out and design these practices and work with them to put them in place on the ground. Working together, we're making sure that we can continue to feed and clothe the world and keep guys in production and help their financial situation, but at the same time protect those natural resources that are critical for all of us. So we're tickled to death that we've got a successful program. We're proud as all get out of the work the farmers do to protect these resources. I'm proud of the conservation districts that I represent, our partners at the Conservation Commission and NRCS, and even the EPA. All of us working together, we've done some great work in this state, and hopefully we'll continue to build on that and see more success in the future.
Let's talk a little bit about some legislative issues, if we might. First, at the state level, obviously there has to be some state cost share dollars. At the same time, you're working on some drought assistance type dollars as well. Give us a kind of an update where we're on that process.
We know last year the legislature helped us out significantly with an increase in money to go toward our non-point source pollution work. They provided additional funding, especially for monitoring, to make up for some of the shortfalls that we've seen on the federal level. One of our big concerns on the federal level is every time EPA gets a budget cut, they pull money away from the 319 and the voluntary side of things, and for some reason they don't want to cut the regulatory side as much, which is a philosophical problem I have there. A little bit of a running argument we have with EPA. But that being said, the state legislature did step up and help us out last year to make sure that we didn't see a drop off in the program. Clearly this year we would like to see, you know, that support continue. One of our concerns is that we also need to have support for operations at conservation districts and at the Conservation Commission. We talk about program dollars and cost share. Always remember, you got to have people to help do that administrative work, to do that technical assistance, to go out and help folks get those programs on the ground. With the cuts at the state and federal level, we're actually about $1 million behind where we need to be in the system. We're trying to get a little bit of that replaced this year. I know Senator Ron Justice and Representative Don Arms, the chairmen of those subcommittees, are very interested in that. Got a lot of budget needs out there. We'll kind of see how that shakes out, but that's one of the big issues that we're looking on at the state capitol. The other challenge that we have is the drought. We've been blessed with some rain recently, and I hope this is the start of a trend that we may be getting out of this drought a little bit. But I think we need to remember we're not out of the woods yet. You know, we have a hot June. If the trends going into the summer are correct for below normal precipitation and above normal heat, we could be right back into this situation again. But even if we're not, I think we need to plan for the future, because we know we're going to have droughts. We've always had droughts in Oklahoma history. Quite frankly, we're due for a big one if you look at the trends in the past. And, you know, if the guys down at the Climatological Center and some of the challenges we're facing with the climate are right, this is going to be something we're going to have to deal with more in the future. One of the things that we would like to see the state legislature do is pass. We've got a piece of legislation that the other ag organizations are working with us on as well, to establish a drought task force. It would be made up of the head of the water board, the head of the Department of Agriculture, head of the Conservation Commission. When the governor declares a drought emergency, these three form the drought task force that serves as advisory capacity to the governor and the state agencies for the duration of the emergency. Then we're also establishing a fund that for emergency drought money. You don't use it unless you have a drought emergency. But these three individuals then, since their agencies are the ones that primarily work on drought issues, would determine how that money would go out the door. It would go out for things like infrastructure, forming municipalities. You know, we know about the lone chimney situation, trying to get more help for situations like that, not just for infrastructure, but also water conservation measures in our municipalities. You know, if you live up around Canton Lake like I do, I'm about 30 miles from Canton Lake. We're very interested in seeing Oklahoma City practice a little more water conservation in the future. So that's some of the things, you know, but that needs to be done anyway. So in all seriousness, we need to be better stewards of the water that we have. On the agriculture side, things like irrigation improvement, soil erosion. You know, we think about that from trying to avoid another dust bowl, but also at the same time, if every time that you lose soil organic matter out of the soil, that reduces the amount of water that you have in your soil. That also can affect stream flow, because that we forget about how soil moisture is tied into the whole rain cycle and how it's so important that you keep that water in soil. So soil conservation is part of the effort. Water for livestock, and that is key. I think if you look at the real number one need outside of problems like lone chimney, livestock water was number one last year. That would give money for that. Fire protection, trying to get rid of eastern red cedars to increase stream flow, but also to help protect for fire, and money for fire districts and fire departments to try to make sure we've got the resources out there if we would have a bad fire season. All of these things that help as far as battling a drought, those resources could be used for that. The governor then would sign off on their recommendation or ask them to do a little different, but it would get us all working together to try to address a drought if we have a drought emergency. That's a key need that I think needs to come out of the state legislature. Even if we're out of the drought now, even if this rain continues, we need to learn the lesson, and we need to be in a situation where we're just not reacting, that we've got a plan and we're ready to move forward if this does hit us again, or, you know, if the next time a bad drought comes around. So right. Those are the big things we're looking on at state house, federal level. Obviously, we're concerned about sequestration. We're concerned about how the budget situation shakes out. Of course, that also has an impact on the farm bill. You know, I'm disappointed that we didn't get a farm bill out the door, and the one that Mr. Lucas and Ms. Stabenow worked down in D.C., I think they did a great job. That spilt milk, I mean, I can sit here and whine about what didn't happen, but, you know, we got to move forward. Hopefully, you know, I've heard there seems to be some indication that when they come back, the Senate's going to do a markup on the farm bill. I know Mr. Lucas is interested in doing a markup on the farm bill. We were in D.C. not too long ago. We feel comfortable where both the Senate and the House are on the conservation title. I think the challenge is going to be, though, it's going to be a smaller pot for all of us to work with. Right. And I think moving forward, you know, you think about these things, going back to what we talked about earlier on water quality. Are there going to be the resources there to make sure that we don't see a drop-off in the work that we've done? And what does that mean as far as folks? You know, we remember the lawsuit over in eastern Oklahoma. If you start seeing drop-offs, you know, is there – a concern that you then start seeing some of these municipalities and other people trying to come in and point the finger back at agriculture, and we go through that whole big fight. We want to avoid that. And, you know, you think about soil conservation and the drought. We want to make sure we don't go backwards on that. We all know that what can happen from our Oklahoma history, so we need to be mindful of that. Just making sure that we've got the resources out there to continue to feed and clothe the world, because the other side of it is, we don't talk enough about this, we got 9 billion people we're going to have to feed by mid-century. We've got to understand how we're going to do that with a diminishing resource base, because, like it or not, the best farm ground in the world is already under concrete. We've got to make sure that we're good stewards of what we have, so that we can feed and clothe the world and do it in a way that we got something left to pass on to our kids and grandkids. We can do it. We've done it before, but we've got to make sure we've got those resources in place to make that happen.
Okay. Executive Director of the Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts, Clay Pope. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.